What?
Could have been the whiskey. Might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6 packs. I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in. My head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh, my. Oh, wasn't that a party?
Well, if you're a fan of the Belleville Bulls when they were here for a long time, that was the theme song for the Belleville Bulls hockey team of the Ontario Hockey League. Every game they won, that song was put on, and for good reason. It was always awesome at the Yardman Arena to hear Wasn't That a Party, and the man who orchestrated that song is joining us here on the Lauren Brooker Show and Quinny News Extended, George Miller of the Irish Rovers. First of all, where are we talking to you from this morning, George?
We're in the balmy climate of Halifax, where it's bloody cold. That's where we are.
It has been one of those winters, and I think across Canada, it's been the first kind of authentic winter in an awful long time, and I think people are kind of ready to be done with it.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, Tim, before I forget, after what you were saying there, we actually were invited to one of the hockey games with the Belleville Bulls quite a few years ago now, and they did play that song, and we got a really nice applause when we stood up, and it was quite an honor for us for them to be playing that song. So it was great. They were they treated us royally.
60 years, roving fan favorites. You guys are on tour, and it's been incredible to just see everything that you guys have accomplished to this point. But when you hear 6-0 to go along with your career, I guess just your initial reaction to that and the planning for this tour and the fact that you're still doing it today.
Well, first of all, I was 10 years old when we started, so I'm quite young still. No, in those days, we got together, Jimmy Ferguson, myself, a cousin Joe, and then a year later, Will joined us. And we said to ourselves, let's give it a year out of our lives and see how it goes and see what happens. And we thought, okay, we'll do that. We'll travel around for a year. We did that. And after that year, we said, all right, well, maybe we'll give it one more year. And I suppose after 59 years, we said, let's give it one more chance and see how it goes and see if we can get it right this time. So that's where those 60 years have gone. We just keep saying, we'll do it year by year. And I suppose as long as the people still want to see us and hear us, then we'll keep doing it as long as we're able. And so far, touch wood, we seem to be okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, you turned 78 this year?
No, 77, but thank you for that extra year. Not till this upcoming spring I'll be 78.
The fact that you guys have been doing this since you were teenagers. A lot of people's love of certain types and genres of music, it grows. You know, of course, when people were listening to the Beatles, people said, oh, they changed too much. They liked a certain style. Did you see your love of genre change? Did you see the music change through the years and adjust and maybe mature in certain ways?
Certain ways, absolutely. You have to, as a band, you have to grow a wee bit. But at the same time, you have to realize what you're good at doing. And in our case, we were fairly good at doing traditional Irish-type songs. And then when we started writing songs, Will and I, we also wrote on that same genre of sounding like an old Irish song. When someone says to me, where did you get that song? Where's that from? I said, oh, I wrote that song. And they said, oh, I thought that was like one of those old 100-year-old Irish songs. Well, that is absolutely great when I hear that, because that's what we were trying to do. So we would add new material all the time, but the new material was sounding like the older stuff, and that's what our plan was, and that's what our plan really still is. Now, once in a while, I'll come up with more of a modern song, like Hey Boys Sing Us a Song. It's Celtic-y, but it's also quite modern, and probably because of the atmosphere right now in the world, and especially Canada, it's quite timely because of the words. What they're saying is, just give us a bit of peace and let's just sing and have fun and forget about all of the garbage going on in the world. So what was the question? Sorry.
No, I think you got it. I think we got a couple of questions covered in there. George Miller of the Irish Rovers joining us here on the Lauren Brooker Show and Quinny News Extended, getting set for a show at Belleville's Empire Theater on Thursday, March 6th. There's a ton of sold out shows already a part of this. I want to go back to the kind of the origin of, tell us about coming across the Atlantic. What was the origin story of you coming from Ireland into Canada. Tell us the backstory of the family moving.
Well, it was really my mother who was behind most of it. She wanted to Ireland at those days was there wasn't too many jobs. My father was a musician like we are. Him and his brothers would play. They called them jazz bands in those days. They were really dance bands, like country dances they'd play. And he was also a volunteer fireman. And so there wasn't a lot of work to be had. And it was my mother's idea of going to New Zealand. And we had the papers and all ready to go to New Zealand when at the last minute they turned us down because Will, my brother, had asthma and they didn't want anybody coming to New Zealand that was had any sort of condition. So because of that, at the last minute, it was changed to Canada. And I didn't really want to go. And they said, well, we'll get you a pony. I said, OK, I'll go. And that's basically what had it. We got on this old boat called the Georgic, which I thought was quite good because my name was George. And we steamed across the Atlantic Ocean and we ended up in, we actually ended up in Halifax first, where we took I think it was a train we took down for some reason down to New York. And then from New York, we flew up to Toronto. And that's how it all started. That's where we immigrated to Toronto. And that's also a few years after we landed. That's when I met Jimmy Ferguson, who had also just immigrated from Belfast. And that's where him and I got together at these little weekend shows for all of the displaced Scots and Irish and Welsh and English people who ended up in Toronto. We would do a concert every week for them. And I was playing guitar behind my sister who was singing. And Jimmy was singing, maybe you're too young to remember a fella called Lonnie Donegan. He was sort of like folk rock in England, a huge star. And Jimmy was singing those type of songs. And we filled in one night for the lead singer the lead tenor who was going to sing got sick. So Jimmy and I were asked to fill in and we did. We happened to know the song The Irish Rover together. And we sang that song. That was all we did. And the people seemed to love it. So they were saying to the following week, are those Irish Rover boys going to do another song? And we said, well, we can do the same song because that's all we knew. And that's basically how the band started. So Jimmy and I said, we kept getting asked at these weekends to sing more songs. And we said, well, I guess we better get together and rehearse. And that's what we did. We got together and learned some more songs. And then Joe immigrated from Ballymena. He came to stay with us because that's what you did in those days. You stayed with family. So he came out and I said to Joe, you're in a band. And he said, oh, great. How many's in the band? I said, well, so far, just the three of us. And he said, how can you have a band with only three people? Who's drumming and who's playing the accordion and who's carrying the flags and all? And I said, no, not a marching band. We're going to be a singing band. He went, we are? So that was how we started. And it was as simple as that.
Cumberland Gap and my old man is the dust man for Lonnie Donegan. We're talking here to George Miller, the Irish Rovers, and a Canadian tour that's going to see a stop coming up very soon at BelleVilleEmpireTheatre.com. To get tickets. Were you surprised at the massive amount of pride there is in Irish ancestry? Did you know that that was going to be that way where everyone has a little bit of Irish in them? There just seems to be something about the old country that just brings people back. Perhaps that's a human condition no matter where somebody's from.
Well, it's very possible it is. And we had no idea until we basically, till we got into the States. We started in Calgary, Alberta as a real, when Will joined us, that's when we really got serious and started rehearsing and just not for fun, but for, let's try and do this for, like I said earlier, for a year. So it was not until we went down to San Francisco, that's when we got our first big break down there at the Purple Onion, which was, the Smothers Brothers had just finished the weekend before and the Kingston Trio were across the street in the Hungry Eye. So it was a great time for folk music. And that's when we got going. And that's when we realized how Irish people, like for instance, there was an Irish pub owner there called Harry Harrington who had this great Irish pub in San Francisco. Well, when he heard us playing, he invited us back to his pub and we ended up playing there for free many nights after we'd finished at the Purple Onion. And that's when we realized how Irish people all over the world were, they would never forget Ireland. He organized a St. Patrick's Day parade, Harry Harrington's did. And we saw like hundreds and hundreds of people. There was there was Asian people, there was black people, and they all had these great buttons saying, "Kiss me, I'm Irish." And we're saying, "Holy smoke, this is amazing. All of these people celebrating Ireland, and they're not even really Irish. They're all from all over the world." And that's when we realized, yes, there's a huge thing about Ireland. People don't forget their country, even if it's their grannies that were born there back in the 1800s. They just don't forget. And so to this day, I still get people saying to me, "I'm Irish." And I say, "Oh, great. Where are you from?" They said, "Oh, Chicago, but our grandfather was from Cork." I said, "Oh, wonderful." And then they'll say, "Do you know so and so from Cork?" And I say, "No, I don't, because I'm from the north of Ireland, and Ireland, believe it or not, is quite a big country. We don't know each other."
My ancestors are from County Mayo. My aunt Joan Durkin, she went to County Mayo, and they were at like a little corner store, convenience store, and the guy could tell they weren't from Ireland, but he said, "What's your last name?" And my Aunt Joan said, "Well, Durkin's our last name." He said, "Oh, Durkin, I know a Tommy Durkin down the road. He's dead, you know."
Yes,
And
that's, also we do a song called Máisín Durkin, which means Mrs. Durkin.
sick and tired of
"Goodbye,
working.
Mrs. Durkin. I'm sick and tired of working."
No longer dig the Bradys. Yeah, it's
That's the one. You know that song.
my 4-year-old and my 6-year-old, I played it for them this weekend when this interview was getting set up, and they were just flabbergasted that their name was in a song and that you wrote it for them. So thank you for writing it, thank you for performing it many years
Oh,
before
good.
they were born.
Well, I'm glad that, talking about children, I'll just tell you a quick story.
Sure.
My daughter, she had this little two little grandkids, and I was over there one day, and they're dancing around. They're about, oh, maybe in their probably 18 months old, one of them, and maybe one was 2 and a half, whatever it was. And they were dancing around to the Drunken Sailor and just
Oh,
going
yeah.
mad in their living room. And Amy, my daughter, says to me, "Do you really think they should be dancing to the Drunken Sailor?" And I said, "Amy, you were dancing to it at the same age for the last 30 years, so didn't do them any harm. They don't understand the words. They don't know what Drunken Sailor means, but it's the music." And that's the great thing about Irish music. We can be singing a sort of a sad song about Roddy McCorley, a true story, who was caught by the English and hung and quartered on a bridge in the north of Ireland. But it's a very uplifting song when you hear the melody. And I would be looking at people in the audience are clapping along and having a great time, and I'm thinking they don't even know what we're singing about. This is actually quite a sad song. Anyway, Irish music is infectious in a good way. It's like polka. If you don't really like polka, but if you're close enough to it and you hear it, well, your toe will start tapping. So Irish music does that as well. When you're around Irish music, you can't help but have a bit of a smile on your face.
Well, and I said everything about that song is great as long as my daughter doesn't get put in bed with the captain's daughter. I think everything
Yes,
is
yes.
going to be fine. I wanted to ask you quickly. I know people talk about the awards and the accolades. What is the Grammy Awards like going to something like that? You see all these people, obviously you've built relationships with them over time, but what is the actual event like? Because that must be an experience that you'll never forget.
Well, it is. It's hair-raising at one point, because you're nervous, and you don't know if your peers will accept you or not. And you meet somebody like from the pop world, and they say, "Oh, I know who the Irish Rovers are. That's great. We love you guys." And I say, "Oh, that's great. I love you too." My wife and I, Anne, were in the Four Seasons about 3 or 4 years ago, and we had a night off, and we're sitting in the bar sipping a glass of wine, and across the aisle is Brian Johnson from AC/DC. And we looked at each other, and we had met years and years and years ago in Australia. So I got up to go to the toilet, and I said, "You are Brian, aren't you?" And he says, "Yes." And he says, "Have we met?" And I said, "Yes, I'm George Miller with the Irish Rovers." He says, "Oh, we met in Australia." So he says, "Do you mind if I join you and your lass?" And I said, "No, of course not. Come on over here." So we ended up having a really nice talk. He was talking about his wife who loved flowers, and we were saying, "Well, you must come out to the Bouchard Gardens." And his love and life is race cars, and that's why he has a house in Florida. And you get along great with these people. You hear about how people in certain genres of music can be really nasty and hard to get along with. Well, When they're not on stage, they're not like that at all. They're just normal people. We had Johnny Cash on our show. This is one of the nicest men you'll ever meet in your life. He was a lovely man. And most of our stars that we had on the TV show with us were down to earth and great people. We never had one problem with any of them. And all of those award shows are the same thing. We were with Gordon Lightfoot. He went on and he won another some sort of award, and we were in Toronto, and he says on he said right on the air, we were standing at the side of the stage. He said in front of the cameras, "Oh, I needed this like I needed another hole in the head." And he walked off and he says to Jimmy and I, "What the hell did I just say, and why did I say it?" He says, "I didn't mean that. I was very proud, but I didn't mean to say it that way." And so we're all normal people is what it is. They're just down to earth, and that's what makes entertainment so exciting.
It's incredible to think 60 years since you did those 22 sold-out weeks, and you're going to be coming once again. We said Thursday, March 6th, the Empire Theater in Belleville, theempiretheater.com. You've probably done songs thousands of times. Does it ever get tiring to do the same thing over and over?
Well, first of all, it doesn't and it shouldn't, because if it does, then you shouldn't be up there doing it in the first place. It's when you have a song like The Unicorn, which little kids to this day, who were not even born when the song was a hit, are still singing it. You can hear it in anywhere from a Sunday school in the afternoon to a pub at night singing The Unicorn. So when you have a song like that, you can never get tired of doing it. And like I say, if you do get tired of doing it, then you bloody well shouldn't be on stage.
I saw you a number of years ago in Belleville, and I think it was around the celebration of the 50th anniversary. Amazing to see 60 years. The Irish Rovers, George Miller joins us here on the Lauren Brooker Show and Quinny News Extended. Thank you so much, and just have the best of time on this tour.
Tim, thank you. I appreciate your time, and please say hello to all your listeners and tell them not to wait for our 70th anniversary because it might not happen.
It'll just be you and Keith Richards going.
Probably, yes, and he'll probably smoke me when I die.
There you go. Some Humpty Dicamas and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn. Old Noel was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, "Hey Lord, I got you green alligators and long-necked geese, some Humpty Beckhamers and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn." Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was falling. Oh, them silly unicorns. Those green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees. Noah cried, "Close the door, 'cause the rain is falling, and we just can't wait for no unicorn." The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Them unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn till this very day. You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never gonna